We're considering the path that our Lord has put the Apostle Peter on. You know, I can never relay to you all the blessings that God gives to me in studying for these Bible studies or for a message or anything else. There's just not enough time in the world for us to talk about all the glorious things that we see in God's Word. So when I say it's been a great blessing for me to do this study, I have enjoyed thoroughly from the moment we started 83 messages ago. This is 84, right? You got 85? We're going to have to meet up after church and get that straightened out. It doesn't really matter what number it is. It's the path. You know, I've mentioned this before to several people. You know, Kathy and I've traveled on our motorcycles all over the country. We've been to Canada once, actually a couple of times. We've been to Sturgis several times. We've been over to the coast more times than I can count. And it's always, you know, oh, you went to Sturgis? Oh, wow. How was that? How was it at Sturgis? I'm going to tell you, it really wasn't all that cracked up to what people say it is. But the trip and the path that we took to get there was more enjoyable than when we actually got there. Now, obviously, that it's not the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. There's nothing as great that we can imagine here on earth as it is in heaven. But the path that Peter has been coming along, and even the troubles, even the time when the Lord turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," we've seen the glory of God in those very actions. Our Lord is glorified in everything. Not just the good things of this world, but even the wickedness of this world will glorify our Lord in one way or another. He's not the author of it. And I'd like to bring that out a little more in my message later this morning. But he's not the author of it, but he will be glorified by it. Everything will glorify the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at one point or another. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord, even the wicked who were created for him. So this walk that we've seen Peter on has been just, it's just been a great blessing for me. And we've got a long ways to go yet. It'll be a little while still. There's some things here in Acts that we're going to cover in great detail. And there's until we get to the book of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and then once we get to those books, I can't even imagine how many lessons are actually going to be there. We're going to have to start emailing them to our sister so that she can keep up with us on it and not get lost behind. We left off in the book of Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John had come to the temple at the time of prayer. They had come to the temple at a certain particular time, and the Lord had caused them to cross paths with a man who had been lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked. From the moment, picture that. Picture that in ourselves for just a moment. Whoa, what the trouble of this life would be for one who cannot walk. One who is lame from their mother's womb. And we took a moment to consider this picture of the Lord's mercy in saving his people. Excuse me. First, we noticed that this man could not come to anyone. He had to be carried. He could not support himself. He must beg for alms. He must beg for his support. And the word of the Lord came to him. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2. Chapter 3. Verse 6 of chapter 3. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." The word of the Lord had to come to him. This name, Jesus of Nazareth, was a particular name. It was one that most all had recently heard about. They heard about this one who was sent to the cross. They had heard about this one who had been hung on a tree, crucified instead of that murderer, Barabbas. Could you imagine what was going on through the people at that time, through Jerusalem? They had heard, what do you mean? Do you mean, I couldn't be there that day. Do you mean they let that murderer guy go instead? You know that was going around between everybody. They heard about this one who had stirred up the religious leaders. Yo, man, that guy, that guy sitting over there, the high priest, he was mad at this guy for some reason. He had to be pretty mad at him to do what he did to let that murderer go. This is the word that was going around. People had heard these things. This one that Peter was speaking of, this Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk in his name. It was the name of power. Everybody had heard about it, whether they bowed the knee to it or not. This one who stirred up the religious leaders, this one who claimed to be equal with God. This lowly man from Nazareth, he's a Nazarene. What do you mean? They said to be in truth, he was the Messiah. He was the deliverer. The very one that these self-righteous leaders were supposed to be looking for was the only one, only thing these two men had. It's all I got. I don't have anything else worth of anything. I can give you everything I have right now. I can give you everything. My car, my motorcycle, everything I have. And it won't do you any good. But I have a message for you this morning. The message that Peter and John had, and that was the one with power, the name of the Son of God. Get up, rise up, and walk. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. What more do we really need? What more do we really need? When the Lord says in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you lay that to heart? Folks, I'm talking to me. I'm asking myself this question. Do I lay this to heart? It's not something we ask ourselves one time and then we walk away and say, oh yeah, the answer's there. That's it. Yep, sure I did. No. Because, and oh my goodness, I'm going to start preaching to you the next message. Because we walk in the flesh. Because we must walk in this flesh for the remainder of our days. We must fight this battle. And the only way to fight this battle is to look to our Lord and Savior for everything. To be reminded that it is His strength that gets us through this day. It is this very one, this Jesus of Nazareth, that helps us to get up and walk every morning. Next, we can take a note of that this man was lifted up. He was raised up to sit in heavenly places in this Christ of Nazareth. Look at verse 7 with me. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, I emphasize immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. In Psalms 40 verse 2, we read this. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. This is David speaking. The prophet David The man after God's own heart, remembering that horrible pit. And this is what you and I are to remember, what it was. This is where we see the grace of God magnified the most in our lives today, is seeing the pit that the Lord took us out of. The very pit that we could still be in this day. But by His mercy and grace, we're not. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I heard somebody explain one time what miry clay is. You ever walk into mud along the side of a lake that the waters have dropped really fast on? And you get in that mud. You get in that mud and you get down in there. And you got shoes on and you try to take a step and all of a sudden your shoes come off. And then all of a sudden you're trying to walk in that mud in your bare socks and stuff like that. Yeah. I think about that when I think of miry clay. It just grabs a hold of your feet and it hangs on. But yet the strength of God grabbed a hold of each of us and pulled us out of that sin that we once walked in, that sin that we once loved. And sets my feet, He says, upon a rock. Woo! The very rock that our Lord and Savior says, I will build my church upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Sets my feet upon a rock and established my goings. By the power of God, this man got up immediately. Just like the power of God called those very men to come and preach the gospel. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishermen of men. What did they do? They immediately got up. They didn't wait around and say, well, let me go talk to Dad first. You know, Dad may not like this at all. I may have to go talk to him. No, they immediately. Folks, when the Lord spoke to my heart in that chair right over here sitting next to Shirley, I knew immediately that the Word of God made more sense to me than anything I had ever heard in my life. I didn't understand it. I wasn't able to comprehend a lot of it. But I knew that I had to have one of these. I had to have one of these books. I went out and bought one of these books right away. Asked Kathy, I think it was like the first week maybe. Maybe the second week, I went right out and got a book, Bible, and I said, I got to have one of these so I can start looking at it and seeing God's Word. Is it right with what that guy's saying up here in the pulpit? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Immediately. Now, some are not all that way. Some, the Lord puts the power of His Word into them, and then He brings it back and reminds them at another time. Not everyone is called immediately, but the majority are. When the power of God sets into a man or a woman's heart, it sets, because God Almighty put it there. He establishes our goings. Notice also that this man had strength in his muscles that had never needed development. You know, have you ever seen someone who has never been able to walk in a wheelchair or has lost their power to walk? Eventually, their legs start to shrivel up. Eventually, their feet and ankles lose all their muscle. If you don't use your muscles, they go away quick. That's what the problem they have with space. You know, men and women who go to space, they have to exercise all of their muscles up there. You know, whatever it might be, the space shuttle or whatever, they always have some kind of exercise equipment in there that you can use to exercise every muscle in your body and keep everything working. Those people who stay in the space station, they have $1 billion exercise equipment in there. Every little piece of equipment is set to exercise something so that your body mass will remain. Well, that's a picture of God's miracle for you and I. What wasn't there is now there. What was never in our spirit before is now there. He was lame from his mother's womb. His legs had never worked. And instantly he was cured. Instantly he was a new man, as it were. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "This is a picture of true conversion. You have seen how this man's body has been healed even by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in this way that your soul must be saved. For there is no other power that can effect such a change within you, a change from weakness to strength, from death to life." Don quotes a man by the name of Charles Simeon who says, "Christ is able to save. By the mere exercise of his sovereign will, sin is subdued. Guilt is removed. The dead live. Bloodthirsty lions are made to be lambs, and wretched sinners are made new creatures in him." Don goes on to say this, "Christ on the tree has put away sin." And he quotes from Hebrew 9, verse 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Don goes on and says, "Christ on the throne is able to save, as it says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now look at verse 8. "And he," this man who had been lame from the womb, from his mother's womb, "and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and doing what?" See what I did? I made a decision to follow Jesus today. Isn't that great? No. He did exactly what every one of God's people do, and that is we praise our Lord and Savior. We give him the glory for everything. Praising God. This man was healed completely, walking and leaping. And when Christ heals us of our sin, we are healed completely. Folks, we are as white as snow right now. I know that's hard. I know these are hard sayings. I know, because I walk in the flesh too, as you do. And I'm the chief of sinners in my own eyes. But we are white right now. The power of God has washed us clean as snow. We sit in heavenly places right now in Christ. This is our hope. This is our assurance that if we are in him, we are saved to the fullest, to the uttermost. Completely saved. All of our sins are put away, never to be seen again. We are a new creature, the Lord says. We are not saved because we walk a new walk. We walk a new walk because we're saved. Look at verses 9, 10, and 11 with me. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Did your family ever come afterwards, after the Lord opened your eyes, and say, "Man, what happened to that person? What happened to you?" Yesterday, a guy came up to me and he says, "What happened to Daryl?" I mean, he had a church. He was building a church up in Kelseyville, I think it was, he said. I thought it was Georgetown, but I guess it was Kelseyville, which is somewhere up here in the hills by Georgetown. He goes, "I thought he was building a church up there." And I go, "He was." That's what we were talking about in that verse yesterday of Psalms 127. those who build their church without God do it in vain. Daryl heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and him being the rock of the church, and he left that church up there and stopped going to it. He found out that was worthless. It wasn't anything. It was vanity. Oh, that's what happened to him. Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. Wonder where he had gone. He started coming here. Started hearing the truth of God's word. And people looked at him, wondering what happened to him. Folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is always effectual. It always accomplishes its intended purpose. We read in Isaiah 55:10 through 11, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring." There's a lot of ifs in there. Excuse me, let me try that again. "But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish." Isn't that cool? Isn't that a good word right there? "It shall accomplish." "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." I love that. That is so awesome. "It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I send it." Whew! The word of God is effectual. It offers salvation and eternal life to all who come to Christ. As we read in Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The word of God is always effectual. It means that by which God, the Holy Spirit, brings chosen sinners to Christ, as we read in Psalm 65 verse 4, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple." And it gives honor and glory to God for his saving goodness. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's just two books over. You got Romans and then Corinthians. Look at verse 1. We're talking about how the Word of God always, always gives praise and honor and glory to our Lord and Savior for His goodness. Look at verse 26 with me. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And here's the thing about giving God all the glory, that no flesh, verse 29, "no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now one more, if you would, and we'll bring this to a close. Could you turn over to the 35th chapter of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 35. And we'll consider this whole chapter. It's not a very long one, just a few, if I can find it here. There we go. I'm coming up. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Just 10 verses. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellence of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there. Oh, the road to salvation, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those that wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there on it. On it shall be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Is that not good news? That brings a great joy to this man's heart. Would you stand with me, please?